Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. And I was thinking about, you know, when the woman comes to the time of birthing a child, that just doesn't happen. Sometimes it's a long process. And I believe that this is the day that God is birthing his corporate son in the earth, a son that will set creation free from the bondage of the curse. That there's a people in the earth today that God has chose to be a part of that manifestation of his sons in the earth. We know that the veil of the old order is being rent asunder, and a new way and a new order is being opened into the Holy of Holies, even the way of the Melchizedek priesthood. This is the day and the hour when God is being formed within his people. And it is the out-resurrection from among the dead. It is Christ, the resurrection and the life, standing in the midst of his people. So I was thinking about, you know, the facts are that God's manifested corporate son of the earth, when God manifests that son, he will have brought them to the place of manifestation, of change, of metamorphosis in their mind. That's what's happening now. Our minds are being changed. So much emphasis in this hour is being placed upon the outward or the physical. And what we see with our eyes in the natural, in each other, that body that we see, that Adamic body, is never, until that day of manifestation, going to be holy. There's nothing you can do to make this outside righteous in God's sight. There's nothing, no change until this corruptible puts on incorruptible and this mortal puts on immortality for this physical body. That birthing process that is happening, and I believe it's beginning now, the birth pains of the birthing, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take, but there's changes that are being taken place within the hearts and the lives of those that God has chosen to be a part of this manifestation, that our mind, our thinking, our understanding is being changed. The verse that I first read said that we are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative of a nation. He is to represent all aspects of that nation. And God says, you and I are his ambassadors. And the fact of the matter is that we are supposed to be as he is, so are we in the earth. And it's not this outward expression that we're seeing. It's that inward who we are, the changes that are taking place within us. Paul said we are a new creation, that old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Christian life, or the life of the child of God, is the same as a baby that is birthed to its parents and has to grow up to walk, to crawl, to talk, to learn, to go to school. And the Bible says that we're under tutors until that time. And you know, the fact of the matter is that so much of religion today is so spent on what is outside and not on in coming into. Paul said that you may know God. Paul said himself that I may know him. in the power of his resurrection, and in the fellowship of his suffering. Not that I had already attained, but I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. This life as a child of God is a continual life of being changed from one glory to a higher glory. In other words, it's a life of dying. We are dying to who we are, to I, to self. That which we desire, that which this natural desires. And we are coming into that life of the Spirit. And it is happening as we hear His words, that Christ is being formed in a people. It's the day and the hour when Christ is being formed within His people, and it's the out-resurrection from among the dead, and it is the resurrection and life standing in the midst of Christ, standing in the midst of His people. It is the caterpillar being transformed into the butterfly and breaking forth from the cocoon of death into glorious liberty of the atmosphere above. This is God's day of the manifestation of His sons in the earth. And what is God looking for? So much emphasis has been put on gifts. How many times have I been to church and I hear people and feel guilty myself, but not as often, but every week you hear the same thing. I thank God I'm saved, sanctified, baptized with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. I don't do this. I don't do that. Or we hear, well, they are so super spiritual. They prophesy. They pray for the sick. I want to tell you something. God is not looking for the gifts of the Spirit. For the gifts of the Spirit is not evidence of spiritual attainment. The gifts of the Spirit are not evidence of spiritual attainment. Think of what 1 Corinthians 13 says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am nothing. Profit me nothing. I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. God's not looking for an expression of gifts. God is looking for the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested in a people. If you are the ambassador for the kingdom of God on the earth, then you and I are to be like who we are a representative for. And God's sons on this earth are going to be speaking as God. And the Old Testament said that Ephraim was a cake half-baked. God's not going to have any half-baked cakes in His kingdom. He's not going to have any half-baked children in His kingdom. God is bringing a people through a process, through the fellowship with Him, that lives are being changed. Fruit must grow. You know, we've been speaking for some time that God has us individually shut away with Him, placed in a place with Him, in fellowship with Him. And it's in that place that He is revealing Himself to a people. It's in that place of fellowship with Him that He is preparing a people for that day of manifestation. You know, we used to pray that God would zap people or, you know, do things to them or change them. And God doesn't work like that. He said that you may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed that we may know Him. You know, that's the evidence of knowing Him. Fruit must grow, And God has never intended that the body of Christ should ever bring forth fruit except through continual divine growth in the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit, constitute the test of true spirituality. If we are going to be His representative in the earth, and if we believe, as we do, that this is the day of the birthing of the sons of God in the earth, then it behooves us as children. We can't change ourselves. I'm the first one that's going to tell you. You and I cannot, of our own selves, produce the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit can only be produced by the Spirit. And as I see it now, and God can change that, He's apt to, is that the only way that happens is in coming in to intimate fellowship with Him. It is imperative in this hour, I believe, as we are beginning to hear the trumpets blow, the message going forth, that we as individuals turn aside and come into His presence and begin to fellowship with Him. It's only out of that relationship that those fruits can be produced. I believe we're living in the most crucial hour that the world has ever known. We're standing on the threshold of the birthing of a son in the earth. And in Revelation 12:5 it says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God and to His throne." Now I want to tell you something this morning. As I see it, that son that is going to be birthed into the earth, that corporate son, it's not like the new birth or when we first met Christ. We came as a babe and we began to grow. God is birthing a mature son in the earth in this hour. A man child. Not a baby that has to learn, but a full-grown son is being birthed in the earth in this hour. That will not have to go through the learning process. That's why at this time we are coming to know God. We're coming to trust God. Our faith in Him is growing. Because when I look at the life of Jesus, when He stood at Lazarus' grave, He said, "Father, I thank You that I know You hear me, but I pray for these that stand by that they may know." He already knew that when He said, "Lazarus, come forth," that Lazarus was going to come forth out of that grave. Because He had the mind of the Father within Him. He knew what God was going to do. And He spoke it. And some of you have read Elwin's this week. Elwin was talking about that very thing. Speaking God's words. What God says. With authority. God, Jesus walked in authority on the earth. He declared the word of God into creation. He finished the work that He came to do. But He said, "Greater work shall ye do than I do, for I go to my Father which is in heaven." But we're looking now, the vision that we see is that a son, a corporate son being birthed in the earth, that a full-grown son that is going to stand in the earth and begin to declare out of the realm of the heavens the Word of God into creation that is going to set creation free. There'll be no doubt. There'll be no fear. There'll be no being timid and backing down. But it is a people, as a woman that came out of the wilderness, says, who is this leaning on her beloved? A people that have been through the processes. A people who have been intimately involved with God, that have come to know Him, that have been prepared for that day of unveiling. And that's what God's doing in this hour. He is preparing us for that day of unveiling, when He is going to unveil His corporate Son in the earth. And I believe we're standing on the threshold. And I believe in Revelations, at the end of every church, it said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I believe that this is a day that God's people are being called to come aside and to come into His presence and to see Him as He is. It is a day that He is unveiling Himself to a people. And the Word says, as we behold Him, as we behold Him, not as we work, not as we read the Word, not as we pray, not as we do anything, but as we behold Him, we are changed, metamorphosed from glory to glory. Paul said, I am, not will be, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. Romans says, know you not that you were crucified with Christ? It is walking out the Word that has already been spoken of to us and upon us. It is walking out the reality of what God has already said within us. There comes a day when God's people have to cease from their labor of trying to become to please God and enter into the rest, knowing that the work is the Lord. The Bible says the battle is not yours. It's not yours. Israel looking at all of her enemies coming against her, and yet the king said, we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. As we behold Him, we are changed from glory to glory. As we behold Him. And how do you behold Him? Not with your natural eyes, with your spiritual eyes. You behold Him when you come in fellowship and worship and praise and glorify His name. You behold Him as you meditate upon His Word. Because the only hope of change we have is that His Word becomes spirit within us. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, I want to just read four verses there. Paul said, for we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. Now, I don't believe that Paul was talking about dying. Paul was not talking about leaving this world or leaving this plane of existence. He said, we know that if this tabernacle were, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which came from heaven. When Jesus came forth from the grave, He did not come forth with His earthly mortal body. He came forth as the first fruits of the resurrection, a immortal body. And God, and we have this house which is heaven. For if so be that being clothed we shall not found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, talking about this body of flesh and blood, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon with mortality, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, he's not talking about death. He's talking about being mortality being swallowed up of life, being clothed upon with that manifested body, that body that has put on immortality. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're desiring for in our heart, is to see that day. And we want to next week start talking about the feast of Israel, because the only feast that has not been manifested in the Spirit is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe that we're entering, if not already in, that feast. And I believe it behooves us to take a look at those words and to look at them. But if I leave you with one thing this morning, and this is what I'm sensing, that we are in the day of the birthing of God's sons. That we're in the day of great change in the hearts and the lives of God's people. And that one of the hardest things I believe for a human being to do is to yield to another. Jesus came to Gethsemane and he said, Father, if it be so, let this cup pass from me. If it be your will that I may not go through this. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. God is working in the midst of a people. And I just thought of that old song of the church says, I surrender all. All to God I surrender. Everything that I am, I surrender. We have been apprehended by God for a purpose. Before we were ever born, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, we were apprehended by God for the purpose of being a part of this day and of this hour. We did not ask, or I can speak for myself, I did not ask to see the things that I have seen. I could have been satisfied where I was. It was not my desire to take the route that I have taken. It was God's apprehending me for this time and for this hour. We know that. We have been apprehended of the Father to be a part of this great and glorious day of the birthing of His Son in the earth. I mean, a day that the world has never seen before. Our hearts yearn and long to be clothed upon with that tabernacle from on high. And I do believe that this is the day and the hour that we are going to see that. And I do believe that this is the day and the hour that God is calling His people. And you hear so many voices. Here is God. Look at this. Look at what's happening. Here is God. He's over there. There's a great revival, a great move over there. Or look, we've seen some great new manifestation of word or something. There's all kind of voices that's calling. But my beloved, God, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. If there was ever a day or an hour that God's children need to be listening to the voice of the Lord alone and beholding Him, it is this hour in which we live. We are to listen to what He says to us. His words come in peace. There is no confusion in what He speaks to us. And he may lead us in paths that we never even, and he will lead us in paths that we cannot even conceive of as we sit here this morning. But there's one thing for sure. We can follow him with the confidence that he is leading us into the path of righteousness and that he is calling us ever upward in a spiritual atmosphere, that we are ever being changed from who we are into what he has called us. That there is a metamorphosis that's going on. That the cocoon is about to burst open. The butterfly is about to take wings. And beloved, it's the hour that we draw aside into his presence. And we listen to the words that he has for us. Because this is the glorious day of the manifestation of the sons of God. When I say that, I say it to and want to preface it with this. The birthing pains may last a long time. I don't know. I don't know exactly when that day of unveiling will be. But I can tell you with the assurity in my spirit this morning that that preparation for that day has begun. Bless God, that preparation has begun in a people that have been called to be a part of this glorious day. And the fact is that all this world is going to share in the glory of that day. And beloved, listen to his voice. Allow him to speak within the midst of you. Because when his word becomes spirit within us, something changes. Something changes. And we look at him and, you know, our words cannot even begin to express how wonderful and how glorious our Father is in this hour. You know, there's nothing behind us that we want to go back to. We look around us in this old world today and there's nothing in this world that is worth anything to you and I. We exist in the natural. But our heart, our spirit, our soul is set on fire with the flames of the Holy Spirit, desiring to see the fulfillment of that vision, hallelujah, that God has birthed within us. And that birthing has not taken one day, but many of us has taken years for that vision that we hold in our heart today and that fire, hallelujah, that burns within us. We have years that we have been looking for and seeking after this glorious day. And now we stand at the threshold. What an awesome and what a wonderful Father we walk with. We give him glory. We give him praise. We give him honor. We rejoice in his presence. We bless him in the reality that we are his children. We glorify him with all that is within us. For he is worthy of all praise, all glory, and all honor. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And thank God there's no one like him. And he lives and dwells within our hearts and our lives. Amen.